It's 1 o'clock.
Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews. Yes, I've been frolicking on the beach yesterday. I had my first swim in the sea.
Did you?
It was lovely. Kept my mouth closed, of course.
Whale watch.
Yeah. No, that wasn't just me, was it? See what you did then.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a lovely swim, and I have been quite stressed since my AZ, as you know.
I know, I've noticed, yeah.
And I took my deck chair down with my new husband. We took a little few olives and things, about five-ish. And I said to him, the sound of the sea as it was just coming in, you know, that lovely rhythmic sound of the sea. It was just lovely. You do it very well, actually.
Yeah, it's always one of my main talents, impersonating the sea.
But it was really lovely, and it's just good to have a little bit of hot weather. And I also lounged in my hammock on Sunday, you may have noticed, with a little snifter of something.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not notice?
Yeah.
A little snifter of Prosecco. It was an organic one.
Yeah.
Very pleased to see that you're wearing your Beach Boy shirt as arranged.
Hawaiian shirt, yeah.
Very
with
nice.
Parrots on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let's hope they don't do a poop on it. They're not live parrots, are they?
No.
Just checking.
It's funny you should say that. It is
what,
funny.
You had a parrot on your shoulder.
No.
But you used to be a pirate.
No. Well, let me tell you.
You got a claw in your arm.
No, it was worse than that.
Oh.
On Sunday afternoon, I went to attack. I was under attack by the squirrels.
Oh,
as normal.
The Mexican fat ones.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There was hundreds of them, and they were ganging up. And I thought, right, I'm going to get them.
They need contraception.
Right. So I've got nothing on my feet. Yeah, because it's a nice warm day. I charge across the kitchen floor.
Kitchen?
The kitchen floor.
Oh, I thought you'd had a new wing put on.
No.
Kitchen ring. Wing.
I charge across the kitchen floor.
He's trying to get this out, you know.
I am. I'm trying to tell you, but I don't know why.
Admirably.
I don't know why.
So, yeah, fat squirrels.
Because people will have forgotten why I'm telling you now.
Fat squirrels and kitchens,
so yeah. Yeah. So I charge across the kitchen floor and stood in a pile of poo, right?
Oh.
But it was pigeon poo.
So they come in your kitchen now?
So the pigeon had been in the kitchen and had pooed on the floor and I stood in it.
Oh, no. But at least you didn't slip like Harry did.
How do you know?
I mean, you know
how. How do you know I didn't slip?
Well, did you?
Ah, so you didn't care,
well,
did you?
You would have said. That would have been the punchline.
Well, of course I slipped. It didn't stick,
well,
did
you
it?
You slipped?
Well, of course I did.
You fell over in it?
Well, I slipped.
No, but did you actually fall onto your derriere?
No, because I've got balance, haven't I? Unlike Harry, he just breaks his femur.
Harry, for listeners who don't know, is my co-presenter on the Superior Show, The Scoff and Quaff.
Yeah.
He, bless him, has fallen over twice in his kitchen.
Yeah, in his kitchen. Yeah, his kitchens are like that.
Once when his cleaner had wiped the floor, no pigeons were in sight. And another time, I don't know what he was doing, I fell over the dishwasher or something. And he sent me a picture, do you remember, on Twitter?
Yeah, it was horrible.
His leg was actually in a V shape.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a spoof.
Yeah.
I said to you, didn't I? Who would actually break their leg in such an awful way and then take a selfie?
Yeah.
I
suppose he had nothing better to do, laying on the floor with a broken leg all on his own in the kitchen.
It's going
to
be at least 6 hours for an ambulance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what he should have done is put a souffle in the oven because they take a while, don't they?
They do. Yeah. You know Michelle Roux Jr., who loves me, of course.
Yeah.
Le Gavroche, they do the best souffles. I mean, they're renowned for souffles. Absolutely renowned. If you haven't been and had a souffle at Le Gavroche, you haven't lived.
Do you have to have a broken leg for it?
No, not really, no.
Okay.
Anyway, after your slip, where you didn't really fall over. So yeah. There's a bit of drama there, but you didn't really hurt yourself. Did you find the pigeon in your kitchen?
There was some pigeons in the garden that looked suspicious.
And the pheasant that knocks on your door, has he gone?
I haven't seen the pheasant for a little while.
Somebody's put him in a pie.
But I heard some shotguns banging the other day, so he may be in someone's pie by now.
Our neighbours had solar panels put on a couple of years ago, and the pigeons all nest under them. So they've now had barbed wire or some sort of wire thing to stop the pigeons nesting under the solar panels.
Can't you just wrap them in tinfoil and bake them?
Probably. That would be lovely. But now what's happened, because they've been banished from their under solar nesting, they've all come into our garden, and they all nest now on a tree and poo in our lovely little hammock. So I was looking at getting one of those, I do love animals, but one of those things, the sound things that go scare them off. But then I thought it would probably also scare off all the lovely birds that we love, like the robins.
And the neighbours.
Well, I wouldn't mind scaring one side off.
Okay. Anyway.
Who might our sponsor be?
That's a good
back
idea.
Back on track.
Shall we talk about that?
Yeah.
The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with Tenterton and District Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the area covered by Tenterton and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Betherston, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rolvenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittersham and Woodchurch. The Tenterton and District Chamber of Commerce exists to promote the sustainable economic development of this area and to provide a collective voice for all of the area's businesses. If you want to find out more about the work of the Chamber, Tenterton... Oh, thank you for that.
Just having a shiwi.
Yeah. Oh, don't be gross.
It's only Lanson, don't worry.
She's pouring champagne here, listener. Just as I was about to announce the Tenterton Chamber of Commerce website, so...
Oh, did you hear?
Just let me say this.
Get it out, and then I'll tell you something about
www.tentertonchamber.org. Thank you.
You know that a load of websites went down today, did you hear?
Yeah.
Including .gov.
Yeah.
And it was... What was it? Some cloud-based thing that people use to upload photos. What was it called? I'd never heard of the name.
Vetch.
No, something else. So quite a few websites have gone down.
Amazon was down as well.
Was it?
Amazon Web Services, yeah.
Oh, people are not going to be able to do their shopping.
Yeah.
Shall I read an email?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So Kent Business School is one of the partners in an £18 million 5-year project, which is driving growth and innovation in agriculture, horticulture and food and drink sectors in Kent and Medway through the Growing Kent and Medway programme. You can find out more about them by going to www.growingkentandmedway.com. And there's also some support for SME leaders. You can help to grow management, and it's a government-backed training programme for SME leaders who'd like to drive innovation and growth in their business. As a chartered association of business schools, accredited business school, Kent Business School will be delivering this training. And you can find out more by going to the Business Bunker website after the show. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Yep.
Is it?
KentBusinessRadio.co.uk.
Okay. Yeah. You never know. Because, you know, I got your mum's name wrong the other day.
You did. You called her Beryl.
Yeah.
It's not her name.
No, I know.
Ah.
She's Betty.
Listen, we want to hear from you. All the businesses out there in the southeast of England, you can tweet us. Tweet me at VanillaWeb or her at Jewel Sirkin. We have had quite a few tweets already. The lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, they said, we're ready to listen in to the Business Bunker Show today. Hashtag community.
I expect they've got their little click wheels out, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Surveyors do,
yeah. Surveying.
A little clipboard and a click wheel.
Yeah, do you reckon? And a tape measure.
When you were at school, did you used to go round and round the playground with click wheels?
It was part of our lessons. I don't recall doing that, no.
We used to love it because we'd get outside. I'm not really sure what we were learning, but used to roll around with click wheels quite a bit.
At my school, they didn't let us out. Because if they let us out of the classroom, they never got us back in. Yeah, we'd all go home.
You'd go scrumping.
We'd go down a chip shop. Down a fag shop. Buy a fag and some chips. Yeah.
You didn't buy chips, did we? Used to get the scratchings
for free. The bits. Yeah, a bag of bits. Yeah.
You have to pay for them now.
You used to get a bag of bits, and then in the newsagents next door, you could buy one number six fag, one match and a bit of strike for threepence.
You see, I used to quite like a gobstopper in those days, but as I got older, I used to smoke Samarits because I thought it made me look really glamorous when I was about 21.
Well, they were coloured ones.
Samarits had a little silver band around them.
What happened there?
I don't know. I've got muffled.
Yeah.
Hello.
I don't know what happened there. No, there's nothing you can do.
No, there's nothing. You can carry on. Yeah, I've gone very muffled. I thought it was my sinuses.
Speak. No, you're fading in and out.
Hello.
Try the green one, but that's even worse.
I love it. Oh, I've come back.
Yeah.
What have you done?
Nothing. There's something going on there.
Oh, well. We'll get Mikey on it after. I won't move or wobble.
I'll tell you what. Do you want to read an email?
Yeah. That always helps when your microphone's muffled.
Yeah.
Kent and Medway Healthy Workplace Programme. This is a good one for now, people. The Kent and Medway Healthy Workplace Programme is a KCC and Medway Council-funded initiative.
It's offering support... Oh, I've gone again. Workplaces around staff health and well-being. Can you hear me?
Can't hear you. Try... I don't know why it's cutting... The mic's cutting out for some reason. Try the green one.
Turn me on. Where was I? Can you hear me?
Not very well.
Well, what can I do? Turn it up?
You can't do anything. Just speak at the moment.
Anyway, so where was I? By joining the free programme, you can access free NHS health checks for your staff. If I shout, they'll hear me anyway.
Yeah.
Health MOTs, a variety of health and wellbeing training... I'll put both there and then I hedge my bets. Including mental health. We've turned me up. Healthy eating, keeping active, giant Mexican squirrels, working remotely, alcohol and guidance and support on updating your health-related policies. So this is really, really what we need. It's cutting edge. You can find out more, listener, by going to the website, which is... 3wsmedway.gov.uk. Let's hope they haven't crashed today with this cloud-based thing. And you can also, of course, look on kentbusinessradio.co.uk after the show. Stay tuned here because we've got loads more for you. And there is a little email. It's workplacehealth@medway.gov.uk. So that's finding out all about your staff health checks for your staff.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. We'll play some
tunage
in a minute.
A little whiff of this air freshener that our lovely guest Daryl has brought in.
Okay, I've had a tweet from Chips and Dinks, and they say, "Oh yes, the sun's shining, the birds are singing, and Business Bunker's on the airwaves. Today's going to be a good day."
They're sorry. I wonder what they're making at the moment, though. They normally give us a little photo.
No, I saw one earlier. They're actually making furniture at the moment from scratch.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So, but are they recycling or upcycling from the wood? Is it old pallets or something?
I don't know. What they did is they posted a picture saying, "Today we will be mostly making new furniture."
Wow!
So, make that of that what you will. We've had a tweet from Hammond's Accountants that say, "Have a wonderful show." So thank you for that.
I've got a meeting with my accountant tomorrow.
Have you?
Yeah, it's a good one, I think.
All right.
There's a contact centre in Ashford that's completed a £1 million 12-month technology upgrade. And the Willsborough-based Europa contact centre has seen the biggest investment in the site since it was acquired by Dartford logistics firm, the Europa Worldwide Group, which was in 2019. And the Ashford Centre currently employs 33 staff and plans to increase that to 50 by the end of the year. Improvements were aimed at future-proofing the centre, which responds to client inquiries. So that's the Europa Worldwide Group.
Fantastic. I'm going to read one more tweet and then we're going to play some tunage.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk to our first guest, assuming his microphone works.
He's on the red one. He'll be all right.
Yeah. Tenterson Chamber, looking forward to the Business Bunker radio show today with Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. Always interesting and thought-provoking. We may even get a shout-out if we're lucky. Well, of course you do.
Who was that from?
Tenterson Chamber.
Oh, how lovely. Well, they deserve one. And also there's the Collector Buddy. Did you read him?
Not yet, no.
So he is a Collector Buddy, TV, film and toy props, virtual museum.
That'll be Martin. Martin. That'll be Martin in the loft.
You can find him in the loft and you can also find him on his website, which is collectorsbuddy.org.uk. So that's collectors plural buddy.org.uk. And he says he would love a Business Bunker shout out. And he says he's listening live.
Fantastic. Hello, Martin. Hope you're well.
He'd be hot in the loft, though. I think he'll be in the garden today.
Yeah, I'm sure. DG East, how about a shout-out on a business bunker for a vehicle supplier giving a Montbelliano, that's an Italian restaurant in Tenston, a dinner voucher to Tenston cardholders when they lease or purchase a vehicle from DG East. If you want to find out about that offer, DG East number one is their Twitter handle. What do you reckon?
Yes, sorry, I'm getting lots of tweets, but they're mostly about AstraZeneca vaccine.
Yeah, well, that's your problem with your Twitter feed, isn't it?
People are asking me for advice. It's ridiculous. Yeah. In fact, my consultant asked me for advice.
I saw that chap yesterday asking you about getting your jab. He's 59, you know.
I know, that was, but that was awful that he's been neglected, didn't you think? Because he needs his vaccine.
Yeah, but he's being neglected because he has issues, isn't he?
Yeah, but he needs to be not ignored. You know, somebody needs to talk to him about his anaphylactic shock. Then, you know, maybe the Moderna, maybe the Pfizer.
I'm gobsmacked here. When have anybody from the medical profession talked to you about anything at the moment? All they want to talk about is getting jabbed, didn't it? They don't want to talk about anything else.
No. Well, did I just tell you? I know you want to play tunish, but I must tell you this to get it off my chest.
Mm.
AstraZeneca, who I obviously filled in a form about adverse reactions, in May have sent me a form on May the 19th asking for permission to speak to my GP. I filled it in and said yes, of course.
Hmm.
Then again, on the 2nd of June, the duplicate form came again, same thing. And I said, you've just sent me this in great big capital letters. Hmm. And then again, this week, I had the third and I tweeted about it. And there's lots of other people. Now, these are the people we're trusting to do our vaccine and they can't even get their admin done.
Absolutely.
Is it a robot, do you think?
Probably.
And it's a very clunky RTF. Now, you remember RTF?
Yeah, yeah.
Does
yeah.
anybody use RTF?
No.
It's absolutely clunky. Mm. It's terrible. So I'm not happy with them.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening and knows who I can phone up and moan to, I'd like to. Mm.
You're
going to play tunage?
I'm going to play some tunage, right? This is in homage to our next guest. It has no relevance to him whatsoever.
I love a bit of homage.
It has no relevance to him whatsoever. There is no connection at all. But when I was coming over in the car and thinking about what I could play him, I got into my head that we're going to talk to Darren shortly, and Darren's from Intune PR, and his big thing is about audio.
Didn't want to know about his big thing, but I know he likes audio.
So basically,
rabbit, Chaz and Dave. Rabbit,
you got a beautiful chin. You've got skin. You got a beautiful face. You got taste. You got beautiful eyes. You got beautiful thighs. You got a lot without a doubt. But I'm thinking about blowing you out. Cause you won't stop talking. Why don't you give it a rest? You've got more rabbit than Sainsbury's. It's time you got it off your chest. Now you was just the kind of girl to break my heart in two. I knew right off when I first clapped my eyes on you. But how was I to know you'd bend my ear holes too? With your incessant talking, you'll be coming a pest. Rabbit, 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 rabbit. Now you're a wonderful girl. You got a wonderful smell. You've got wonderful arms. You've got charm. You got wonderful hair. Chat, but you have to keep giving it that. No, you won't stop talking. Why don't you give it a rest? You've got more rabbit than Sainsbury's. It's time you got it off your chest. Now you were just the kind of girl to break my heart in two. I knew right off when I first clapped my eyes on you. But how was I to know you'd bend my ear holes too? With your incessant talking, you're becoming a pest. Rabbit, 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 rabbit.
Rabbit, bunny, jabber, rabbit, bunny, jabber, rabbit, bunny, jabber, rabbit.
The Kelly Turner Foundation. In 2021, R. Kelly would have been 21 years old. Unfortunately, DSRCT cancer took her life. There is still no cure or chemo for DSRCT. Please help us celebrate Kelly's 21st by supporting our fundraising for research by the Institute of Cancer Research. Please Google Kelly Turner Just Giving and donate to save teenage lives. Thank you.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
It's all going, Pete Tong. I didn't mean to play that.
Oh. It's a bit early, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, you could get it over with now and then relax later.
No, I want to talk to Darren.
Well, I do, because you've done his rabbit song.
I have done his rabbit song.
You know who else that would be good for?
Who?
Stu Magician.
Yeah, true, yeah.
You'd get a little rabbit out behind his ear or something.
I'll have to invite him on just so I can play it then.
Yeah, exactly. They were great, Chaz and Dave, weren't they?
They are, yeah. Your mic's still playing up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amanda just messaged me. She said, she said, I can hear Jules, but it just sounds like she's in the loo while she's talking to you.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, which of course she is.
Best place for it.
Yeah.
Is she, sort of putting hoof oil on and things at the moment?
She's at the stable, if that's what you're asking.
Putting hoof oil on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Giving a little pony nut here and there.
Quite possibly.
Should we talk to Darren?
We might as well.
As he's
made the journey all the way over here from...
From
deepest, darkest South London.
Just to listen to you
and
talk
not
about
only that, not only that, he bought us the most wonderful card.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a load of goodies. sample products yeah. And goodies.
Amanda, you're going to love this.
But hold on. But he didn't bring cake.
No cake. No, it was a velvet one. He was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. But to be fair to Darren, he has bought us a lot of goodies.
Well, Amanda's going to love that lovely soap. I mean, you're not going to get a look in on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that smells. And I've got coconut hand, hair and body wash from the London Soap Company, which is made in England. I love it. It's actually Kentish. It's made in Orpington by Teapole UK.
Yeah.
And you can find them on teapole.co.uk.
Well, I've got some Teapole toilet cleaner.
Well,
now you can't ask for more than that, can you?
Yeah, I've always thought your labs are very, very pristine, but you don't use the eucalyptus like I do you?
I don't know. I've got no koala bears in my toilets. I don't use eucalyptus. No, I use Teapole Power Toilet Cleaner.
Yeah, from now on.
No, I do.
What does it smell like?
Toilet cleaner.
No, they all smell different.
No, it smells of bleach.
Take the top off.
No, not in here. It'll make your eyes water.
Well, I've also got from the London Soap Company some anti-back hand wash. Mm. And I love the little Union Jack on there as well. Mm. I'm just going to have a smell because some of the hand stuff is quite strips off your skin. But this is nice.
Is that nice?
Yeah, that is nice.
What's it smell of?
It smells of sort of eucalyptus, I think.
Eucalyptus.
It's a home from her. Very nice. It's a nice, clean, fresh smell.
Mm-hmm.
Hope Amanda can hear me now when she puts her hoof oil on.
Mm. Well, shall we actually talk to Darren?
I'd love to. After all of that? You know, he's been patiently waiting.
He has. He's been incredibly good, hasn't
he? There's some old ginger biscuits here and some old
custard
creams.
That's no way
to
refer to our first guest.
You must bring a biscuit tin in or a Tupperware or something because they're just lounging here. You don't know who eats them. Like, could be a mouse in here in them.
No, I do know because as soon as I leave, I take them with me.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I might.
They're
I
might my biscuits.
All right, so you just bring them in open like that, not, you know, open to the elements. It's not very domesticated, Daryl. I mean, you walk about?
Hold on. Would
you walk about with your guests with your biscuits like that?
Hold on. Try thinking it through. When I arrived, it was a new packet. It hadn't been opened.
That was last week, Paul.
No. Today.
Really?
Yeah, today.
I'm mad, isn't he?
Well, I don't know who ate them all.
We can't ever cast nasturtions to our guests, can we?
No.
No.
I haven't seen him eating any.
No, I shall bring you in a Tupperware next week.
Thank you.
A nice, pretty one.
Shall we actually introduce our guest while the microphones are still working?
Yeah.
And hope he's working.
He's so patient.
He's been brilliant, hasn't he?
I know. He'll never want to come on again.
No, absolutely. Listen,
unless we invite him.
Listen. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Mr. Darren Wheel of Intune PR. Now, before we start talking to Darren, I have to say Darren has been brilliant. He's been brilliant for us on the show. He has sourced us some cracking guests. He really has. And then I thought, do you know what? The one person we haven't interviewed is Darren. Yeah, he's got us some cracking guests.
Exactly.
So I asked Darren to come along, and here he is.
It's often the way with the PR, you know. The PR sort of gets...
Sit in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
Introverted and don't like the limelight. Is that how it works?
Well, they put their clients first, don't they?
Exactly.
That's what it is.
And he certainly does that.
Yeah.
So, Darren, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you. Thank you for our garden goodies. How are you?
Very good. Delighted to be on the stonkingly gorgeous Business Bunker show.
Uh-huh. I see what he did there.
I've been looking forward to it for a long time. Mm. I mean, I think it's possibly one of the best light entertainment programmes I've ever heard, never mind the business aspect.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
You know, extra listenable.
Yeah. I mean, funnily enough, it is something that we've always tried to do because, you know, topics like business can be quite dry, can't they? So we've tried to make it as fun as possible to be part of the show. So thank you for that. That's really kind of you. Why don't you kick off, though, Darren, by giving us a bit of your background? Because you've got, even though you're still, you know, not long out of school, you've got a long and distinguished background in government and other forms of communication. So give us an overview of your background and then we'll talk a little bit about Intune PR, yeah?
Yeah, the background really kicked in with a 23-year civil service career.
Right.
For the first 12 of that, I was in the immigration department, where you keep that one discreet because people either say to you, keep all the foreigners out, which I don't like, or can you help my brother?
Yeah.
And in both cases, you can't really do anything. So, towards the end of that time, I did some communication of a policy change to...
No, apologies would have been better.
To hundreds of staff.
Right.
And I enjoyed the process. And a job came up doing communications for what was then the largest PFI deal in Europe.
Right, okay.
£231 million office move of the Home Office headquarters, five sites into one building, which used to be the toast rack, three 18-floor buildings in Whitehall. It was so ugly they airbrushed them out of the ITN news sweep at the beginning.
Right. I remember those buildings. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've still actually got the Home Office rifle range sign and a couple of corridor signs from there that the demolishing people gave me.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it when my mic works too.
To think I'm a copywriter and I come up with that is dreadful. Communicating that change to thousands of staff by events and all sorts of writing and posters and so on and so forth and editing newsletters. And in that particular case, rattling up to the top of one of the 18-floor buildings while it was being demolished with the little machines chugging around me.
Right.
It was just loads of fun. And I enjoyed that far more than what I'd done before. So I went on to do IT-enabled change, making that excitement as a bit of a challenge. And then the communications people in the civil service got tremendously unpopular with the government. In fact, all civil servants got unpopular with the government when the coalition came in. I took voluntary redundancy. and set up in the private sector and used all the writing and communication skills on the public front instead.
Right.
And that's taken me through working with all sorts of people from, you know, garage estate agents, a tech firm currently, T-Pole, whose stuff you see before you.
Yep.
And a lot of musicians. That's why one of the reasons I called it In Tune PR, because it's meant to be in tune with media and in tune with the clients. But I'm probably one of the only PRs in the country with a Spotify playlist on the website.
Right.
In which Fleetwood Mac's Don't Stop is now on In Your Honour, plus I really like the song anyway.
Can't go wrong with Fleetwood Mac.
Well, that's fantastic. It's really interesting, and I want to put something to you and get your a view on this. PR is a long-established branch of marketing, I guess, is a way of saying it. I have seen it mooted that a lot of people go, PR, that's all about getting a story in a newspaper. Nobody reads the newspaper anymore. What's the point? So I just want to get your view on how you see the PR business from a client point of view and from a placement point of view, if you see what I mean. Yeah, because as I just said, you know, a lot of people's view, and I realise you might go, but that's not true at all, Paul, anyway, and you'd be right. But a lot of people's view is, you know, that PR was all about getting stories in the paper, basically.
Yeah.
Have you got any views or thoughts about that?
Increasingly large amounts of them, and they've been occurring to me successfully over quite a lot of time recently. Mm. The main thing is that PR, the ability to get people known about through what you might call conventional channels of print, radio, TV and so on, the perception of it is that it is a lesser beast than it used to be. It isn't the thing which all the businesses would reach for when they needed to get awareness. Mm. The thing that people reach for now, particularly in the small business world, and understandably because it's essentially free, is social media.
Sure.
So when I go networking, I'm outnumbered heavily by social media experts and outsources.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine. In fact, I work with one or two of them.
Mm.
Where the need for my kind of PR comes in is, firstly, actually, there's an element to which you can DIY it anyway and do it for yourself for free in the same way you can social media.
Mm.
You know, who do you want to be in? Well, get in touch with them, listen to their Business Bunker show and make friends with them. You know, you might be able to get on.
Yeah.
But one of the businesses I work with, who I won't name, told me once that they were the best-kept secret in insert industry here.
Right.
And they were kind of proud of it.
Yeah,
and that's not a good attitude. I that led to a 7-hour conversation where I was saying, this is not actually a very good thing. What should we do about it?
Mm.
And funnily enough, the first thing that was done was indeed taking them onto social media.
Right.
And that has been powerful for them. But social media also has its limits.
Sure.
Facebook in particular, I have no particular time for, because it's monetized itself to such a degree, it's hard. You know, you shout on there and you end up in a whisper.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, it's true that on things like Twitter and Instagram and so on, if you get an influencer on there to repost you or whatever, or just like what you're doing, it can be enormous.
Mm.
But then again, you've got to remember also that even these days, the traditional broadcasting media have still got a very substantial audience.
Yeah.
And they add a credibility and a pride to your staff, if you're a business, to be featured in them. And they're part of social media itself, so there's that added interaction going on. So it's important to where it makes sense to engage those. But it's also important for people like me to modernise.
Right.
If I was a traditional social media, PR person, and I was literally dealing with just radio, just TV, just print, it's not enough now.
Mm.
We need to work with podcasts, which this show immediately becomes as soon as I leave the building.
Yep.
We need to work with and get people into those influencers I was mentioning earlier on.
Yep.
And any other new channel, vloggers, bloggers, and all of the online stuff that's out there as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very, very powerful PR, but like anything else, it comes at the right time in the progression of the business.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right, Darren. I mean, a lot of the power of a PR professional such as yourself is knowing where to place things. Yeah, you know, in my industry, IT, there used to be a saying from an apocryphal story of a guy that had a big mainframe computer that wasn't working, and they called the engineers in, and the engineer walked in and walked around the central processing unit, took out a rubber mallet, whacked it, and it started working again, and he presented them with a bill for $2,000. And they said, $2,000 for whacking it with a mallet? And he went, no. It was £1 for whacking it with a mallet. It was £1,999 for knowing where to whack it. And that is a truism of PR, isn't it? The beauty of a PR professional, I mean, everybody knows you need to get your story onto social media, or you need to get your story onto the radio, or you need to get your story onto TV. It's how you do that and who you do it with and what medium you do it on. So, you know, it's okay saying, oh, I need to be in the paper, but do you need to be in the Orpington Gazette or the Bromley Times or both? Yeah. And that's the power of a PR person, is knowing where to put the right story.
Yeah, it's about building relationships. So if you pay for a PR, you're paying for all of the media relationships they've ever built up.
Yeah.
Some of which might work for you.
Yeah.
The other thing is the story thing. And there's some major themes in PR. I hate the fact that being authentic is now fashionable.
Yeah.
you know, it seems like for the last X many years, people can, major businesses can be as unethical as they like and get away with it. But now the marketing companies, the social media companies and so on, are emphasising that businesses need to be authentic.
Yeah.
To actually have and hold to their values. But alongside that is this telling a story business.
Mm.
And I love that. I'll give you one example. I brought a couple of things with me.
I'm just looking.
So
yeah, you've got an array.
I have a tie on. Okay.
Yep.
I chose that this morning. I used to go to test matches a lot.
Right, okay.
And this is a commemorative tie from a series where the umpire Dickie Bird...
It was
his commemorative retirement tie. So I've got this striped sort of international test colours tie with the umpire Dickie Bird on there.
Wow.
And, of course, he has his marvellous story because of his eccentricities when he was playing and so on.
Yeah.
And they commemorated it with a tie. We've been talking about T-Pol Products, who I work with, and that's a storytelling exercise as well.
Yeah.
You're talking about a company that was formed in approximately the 40s, part of Shell.
Right.
Created the world's first synthetic detergent. This gold concentrated I brought with me is an example of that. It's like the Descendant.
Right.
And they were really famous for a period when they were used widely by National Service people. So it was, stick a bit of T-Pol on this Spitfire.
Again, that smells really nice.
Yeah.
That's not like a disinfectant smell. It's a really nice smell.
Well, above all, that is a true multi-purpose product. It's meant to clean just about everything that moves.
Right.
So instead of having the cupboard full of about 50 items, you wash your car, you clean your cat, not necessarily.
Yeah. Pigeon poo. Lovers,
and you're not pigeon poo off the kitchen floor.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. And along the way, right now, and there's a cookbook here, but that's a very direct relation because it's called Cooking with Heroes. It's produced by the Royal British Legion as their centenary event. T-Pol has become a patron of that book because we actually got in the book this great picture of Trafalgar Square where a bunch of RAF people humorously went up there and slung some T-Pol in the fountain and then foamed loads of school children. and that's all part of our heritage. And part of the PR thing is actually to help the companies develop fresh stories.
Right.
Because people, actually, a lot of them are really terrible at telling their own stories. You ask somebody, what do you do that's interesting? And then half of them turn, nothing much really.
Yeah.
But then you get into a deeper conversation and you find that they're involved in charities, they're doing something original. Chips and Dinks are creating furniture out of pallet wood.
Yeah.
Come round to T-Pol, lads, we've got loads. You know, all this sort of things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The ability to be a wordsmith amongst this is one of our most vital tributes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Storytelling is everything, isn't it? Being able to tell stories, whether that's in writing, in print, speaking a story, and being able to tell your story if you're going networking, Telling your story is an important thing. And as human beings, storytelling is one of the most ancient things we've ever done. You know, before the advent of writing, everything was passed down in stories. And we still, even though we don't notice it, I'm a bit of a maven for historical nonsense. And things like nursery rhymes, like Ring a Ring of Roses and stuff like that, are all basically...
Stories.
They're all just stories that people used to tell as a way of imparting information.
Wasn't that about the plague?
That's exactly why I wrote it, because it was about the bubonic plague.
Yeah,
and we've got another one now. We've got another bubonic plague going on, apparently. Ring a Ring of Roses was a way of identifying how to avoid getting the plague. And it's a way of passing information in a way that's memorable. And that's the thing about stories, isn't it? Is making things memorable.
It's tough being a PR, isn't it? Because when I read women's magazines especially, you just know that the editor has been sent, you know, all these things and, you know, she's recommending. And it sort of makes you a little bit hard, I think. And it's just lovely when you get a genuine story that's been sent by somebody like you that's not paid for and it's not, you know, anything like that. And it's just, I love to read a genuine story, and I especially love the fact that these are made in Orpington, these lovely London soap companies. Just lovely, lovely idea and smell. And we love a Kentish British thing as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, being able to get that story in front of people is the key thing, isn't it? And it's the key interest, because I don't know about you, but I am even less patient now with people trying to sell me stuff than I was years ago. And it drives me bonkers where people just come at you and go, do you want to buy one of these? Or they don't even do that. They go, I will be in your area next week and I'll pop in and see you. Why would you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you tell them you don't want to buy something, you never hear from them again. And you think, but... just because I don't want to buy something now doesn't mean to say I won't buy something in the future. You know, you're being very short-sighted here, because you're not telling me anything about you or indeed your products. You're just trying to make a sale, and that's just not where it's at the moment.
So with Teapole, would we see these lovely products in a shop? Where are they sold? Because I've never seen this brand.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, they're chiefly sold at a commercial and industrial level.
Okay.
But versions of them are indeed available for consumer use. And
would it be professional cleaners and hotels and things that would
have these?
Yes, indeed. That's quite a good chunk of our clients. And on the... on that side, yeah, we've got in various shops and things in the Bromley area, and we've got the online shop, and we're working on Amazon at the moment. But yeah, we need to get more out there, and being able to be helped by simply talking on shows like this. I'm talking on behalf of Teapole in this particular respect today, and it's a pleasure to tell a story about a British manufacturer that employs people on my doorstep. I didn't even know there was manufacturing in Bromley until I met
Sure,
him.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you've watched Top Gear, there was this thing from years ago, when the Top Gear was good, yeah, there was a picture of, I think it was a TVR factory or something like that in the Midlands.
Yeah.
And it was a shell, and there was the English equivalent of tumbleweed going across it. That is what the likes of Teapole can be, if people don't get out there and talk about them and use them. And there's this thing about localism and buying locally at the moment as well.
Yeah.
Half the people, actually, what it means is buy from me.
Yeah.
And then they go home and buy their stuff off Amazon anyway.
Yeah.
But I hope it actually embeds, because that's one of the things that COVID has allegedly done.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and you're right. You know, you can walk around Ashford, where we are here, and you can walk around and you come across companies and you go, don't know what they do. A couple of years ago, I went to a company in Ashford called ITL, and they're a tiny, tiny company. They are a tiny, tiny company. They only employ like 25, 30 people, and they got a little manufacturing unit, and I happened to come across them because they're in-house communications manager had sent me a rather nice story about what they do. So I went to visit them. And it turns out that this tiny, tiny company make the world's most important and most used cancer scanner. And I went to their factory and they hand-build these things because the tolerances are so close that you can't do it with a machine. So they are hand-built. And they are an incredibly successful business with just 23 employees on an industrial estate stuck out the back of Ashford. You would never know they were there. You'd never know what they do. And it's just such a powerful thing that they do. And they ship these things all over the world. There's a waiting list for these scanners. And you just think, wow, that is unbelievable. Unless you know about that, unless someone brings that story into the public domain, you would never know that they exist. Now, from a sales point of view, they don't particularly need you to know that, you know, because we don't go to the shops and go, I'll have two cans of Coke, a cheese sandwich and a cancer scanner, please. We don't do that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't have the sandwich. You might have the scanner.
Yeah. But knowing that that company exists and knowing it's a local company is a powerful thing.
Of course. And the local businesses were the ones that kept us all going during the pandemic. That first lockdown, if you remember, you could not get a supermarket's delivery. Mm. And it was the local greengrocers and bakers and everything that were delivering. And I can see this would be also, this lovely soap would be in hairdressers and things, I would think, and maybe doctors' surgeries and just lovely places, not just hotels and B&Bs.
Mm. Cool. So, from your point of view, Darren, as a PR specialist, if I've got a small business and I want to get my story out there, yeah, what's the best way of doing that? Do I just look in Yellow Pages? Do I just look up my local PR? You know, so what I'm trying to get at is. How do you pick a PR consultant, basically?
Well, some people, and this applies to some of the musicians I've met along the way, are actually natural self-publicists, and they don't actually need PRs because they're so good at writing their own story anyway.
Yeah.
Other ones are completely incapable of it, and there are free resources before you get to need to employ people. Mm. So one of the, and here's a tip, one of the most neglected areas of PR, which I'm definitely specialising somewhat in now, is membership organisations.
Right.
So you join somewhere like the FSB or Enterprise Nation, which I'll talk more about at the moment, or the National Association of Widget Makers.
Yeah.
A lot of them have got blogs, have got podcasts, have got news.
Yeah.
Most of them have got communications teams that are underwhelmed with content by people. So if you can dress something up that's readable and newsworthy and get it to them, you've got a free resource there amongst the stakeholders you need to sell to. Right. So the company on that factory estate you were talking about earlier on might not need to worry too much if they've got their stakeholder comms right.
Yeah.
But so the first thing I would say is, I talk about Enterprise Nation, a body that provides a lot of services that help businesses grow from startup. I'm an advisor on there. There are 12,000 advisors. There is a bunch of PRs on there. You can do the discovery call, half an hour's advice for free with those. Mm. So that's one thing. Other than that, there are professional bodies for PRs. And the other one is simply look up ones you like, because you can often see that people's PR's names are associated with certain businesses.
Right.
Not always, because some of them use them as outsource, but don't want the world to know that they've got a PR. It appears more natural if they don't.
Yeah, sure. No, I get that. Tell us a bit about Enterprise Nation.
Enterprise Nation, I'd been in business for 8 years before I heard of it, which is horrifying looking back. But it was founded by a lady called Emma Jones, and it's there to stand up for small businesses and startups, which is not dissimilar to the Federation of Small Businesses, which you hear so much on here.
Yeah.
They provide a ton of online advice, resources. There's a membership. A lot of this is free, actually, anyway, without joining. Mm. But if you do, it's like a tenner a month. Yeah. And there's webinars every day during the week. I did a joint one with another PR called Michelle Hatcher a little while ago on how to be a hot date.
Sorry to say that again. PR. It was
How to be a hot date
with PR. I mean, what's the point of being PR? I mean, you want people to love you and want to give you a cuddle and to use your products and your services. You definitely do not want to be boring, so you want to be a hot date.
Right.
You want to get your shirt out with the parrots on and impress people.
Yep. You reckon? Sorry, I've got loads of messages coming in talking about what you're talking about as well. So
Are you doing stuff? Oh, I've just clocked on. Sorry. Are you doing stuff with like the Daily Mail and the big tabloids, or are you using mostly locals? Because I just did a story on Kent Live, who I'd forgotten all about. I used to write the business column for the Whitstable Times, Faversham Times, and they went online, as a lot of print has, and then they just saw me tweeting about my AZ thing, and it's gone bananas, absolute bananas, and it's had so many clicks and reads, and I underestimated that, the power of online local news, how are you finding that sort of thing?
Well, apart from anything else, I said about building relationships. If you take a lot of local radio, a lot of it is hospital radio and has been for years. But those things are feeders to the BBC and other big broadcasters. They're broadcasters, DJs, presenters, go on to those things. And they have their local loyal community following. I had someone from the Rotary Work Club go on to Valley Park Radio, Darrant Valley Hospital.
Right, okay.
Is that
in Darrant Valley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does not have a massive reach. But what it does have is what you might call an audience that really can't get away because they're in the hospital bed.
Sure. Yeah.
The whole point of, and this applies to social media, but PR also, it's an axiom. You do not know who's listening or reading.
Yeah.
And yes, I've got people into the Telegraph and into overseas big press and national radio and so on and so forth. Mm. But if you take someone I didn't PR, a musician called Jo Harmon. Now, she's not mega famous as such, but she was beating her way around the blue circuit. And believe you me, this is a fairly obscure your circuit.
Right.
And she got onto a local Belgian radio station. A local promoter heard her. Next thing, she was supporting Don McLean in a theatre in Belgium.
Right.
And then off she went. So she is now a mid-rank, well-respected, well-followed person as a result of that one listen to a small station.
You never know who's tuning in at any time.
Actually, that's another reason for the in-tune PR that I never thought of.
Oh, yeah. That's a great name.
Yeah. I need to apologise. The mics here are a mess, I'm afraid, this afternoon. I don't know what's going on.
Yours is all right, though.
My mic is okay. Darren's mic is okay. Your mic just cuts out. Well, shouting won't help. It's just because all that's happening is you're being picked up by mine or Darren's mic is all that's happening when yours cuts out.
This is reducing the level of the normal show double entendre considerably.
Exactly, yeah. It's curbing me, you see. Yeah. He's probably done it on purpose, Darren.
Mm. Did you reckon?
Yeah, to curb me. He's trying to clip my wings.
Yeah. Darren, where do you see this going? Have you got any thoughts about what the future holds for PR and for businesses telling their story? You've made reference there to podcasts. This show becomes a podcast once it's broadcast as well. How do you see the podcast market? You do a podcast as well, I do believe.
I'm actually working on a podcast. I'm not as efficient as this show is. That's been around for 530-something episodes by now.
Right.
But the future of podcasts...
This is episode 532, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I came in rather late in the day at around 500.
All right.
Nice to be with someone who's ahead of the curve. But the curve, since you started, has accelerated enormously.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with a project called Podcast Radio.
Right.
Okay, it's basically a curated set of podcasts that both goes out online, a la traditional podcast, and is going out on DAB in various locations around the country, London, Manchester, Birmingham, so on and so forth. And that is one of the ways of the future for podcasting, the transition between old and new. Mm. They told me that a year or two ago, the podcasting figure was 900,000. Okay. Now, that is still tiny compared to, I believe, the literally a couple hundred million plus YouTube channels out there.
Right.
But the last I heard, that 900,000 a year or two ago had now expanded to 1.7 and growing really quick, 1.7 million.
Right.
So they're very popular. They're the answer to the commute, for people.
Yeah.
One of my favourite old comedy sketches is from The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin, where he had a rant on a train.
I didn't get where I am today. But yeah.
Yeah, and they did a reprise on that in the less good, more modern series.
Right.
And he had his rant on the train, but this time nobody heard because they were all on their podcasts.
On their podcasts.
And their phones right. and whatever. And it was kind of a sign of the times.
Yeah.
But it also shows that... video did not kill the radio star.
No.
Radio star just had to change.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same is true of PRs. That's the future of us. We need to adapt and change, keep ahead of the curve,
yeah.
which is really important to me. I spend a lot of time researching and thinking about this stuff. And, you know, your 530-second podcast, it will not be... I'm not the last one here. This is a major thing going forward and just requires people... As I do when I come on, I consider it a duty to share the channels who help me.
Right.
And indeed the channels who don't. The people out there, these communications channels, they're doing a major public service. And the good ones are also doing something else, which is, going back to your question about the future of business, the future of business, I hope, is that authenticity thing. I hope it is being green. I hope it is being genuine. I hope it's not introducing AI all over the shop, although that looks likely.
It's also about, with podcasts, you can sometimes hear or say something that you wouldn't hear on mainstream radio, such as BBC. So you're getting a lot more freedom, perhaps, as well on a podcast.
I take entirely what you say, and I echo that. And audio is one of the few mediums you can enjoy while you're doing something else.
Exactly, little earpods in, or
if you're driving a car, or you're on a train. Mm. On a train, not so much. But if you're driving a car, or you're trying to work doing something on a computer or whatever, if you're trying to watch something on a YouTube or TV channel, or you're trying to read something, you can't do two things at once. But you can do two things at once when it's audio.
Cooking, it's amazing. I always have a podcast on when I'm cooking.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was referring just now to people adapting in business.
Mm.
It's no coincidence that the Times newspaper now has Times Radio.
Yeah.
And it's parked a whole bunch of journalists and BBC people and so on into what I have to say is a pretty good quality set of programmes.
Yeah.
They see that as part of their genuine commercial model now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, consuming audio is one of the most interesting things you can do. And as you say, there's lots of different specialist things out there. And, you know, there's all kinds of podcasts and radio shows. And it's a bit like TV channels, isn't it? Back in the day here, you know, the radio channels we had were the BBC radio channels and Radio Luxembourg and Radio Caroline. And I noticed that Radio Caroline's back on air.
They were fabulous.
Yeah, but they're back on air now.
Really? Where are they?
But it's an internet station.
Yeah. But have you heard about Boom Radio, which makes me like, it's all Diddy David Hamilton and that back.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Boom Radio.
There's a few of those where, what was his name, Dave Prince or whatever his name was.
Yeah. I think the thing was, in those days, the presenters in those days were not really celebrities. They were just great DJs. They were, you know, brilliant, and they didn't waffle on about themselves.
It's like Mike Reed. Do you remember Mike Reed?
Yeah, of course.
He used to do the BBC One Breakfast Show. He's a DJ on Maidenhead Radio now.
Really?
Yeah.
And, of course, Tony Blackburn's still going, and he's still absolutely loved, you know.
Yeah.
So, can I tell you a story about Radio Caroline, which I believe did have Blackburn on its books at one time?
Mm.
Now, that actually never went away. Mm. It's just been run by a bunch of people who didn't know about PR, frankly.
Yeah.
So back in the 1960s, it was the first pirate radio serving the UK. It was founded by Rohan Riley, an Irish guy who was actually the manager of Georgie Fame.
Right.
And he was fed up of not getting airplay on the BBC because you had like a tiny bit of popular music and nothing much
else. Yeah, same playlist.
So he had a ship built in Ireland, floated it out round to the North Sea with a thumping great mast on top, and broadcast to Britain. And they had a kind of average listenership of about 10 million, maximum at one point of 25 million. The film The Boat That Rocked was founded on their story, but to Caroline's enormous annoyance, didn't put them in the credits as still going. And they did keep going. Steve Anthony, DJ who does 2 to 6 on Thursdays, is a good friend of mine, great guy. But I took the Billy Walton Band from New Jersey onto that ship in Tilbury Dockyard. It's up in an estuary in... Essex now, and I mean the ship, which isn't the same one, the original one sunk.
Right.
Due to a party.
I met the last broadcasting DJ from it, a sort of, goodbye from this show, Glug. I took the first...
He went down with a ship.
The first US band to appear on the deck of Caroline's ship in 46 years was the Billy Walton Band.
Right.
And I went on there with the video crew. Amateur guys, up and coming sort of thing. And Steve interviewed them down in this horrendous lounge which had been warmed by the bottoms of so many DJs.
Right.
He was interviewed in his turn by Billy, who was deeply fascinated by the whole thing, up on the bridge. And it was just a great occasion. But it was also proof, which people who are social media experts would recognise as well, there's no guarantee that something will go viral.
Right.
That was a stunning story. I got some good print stuff out of that.
Mm.
Right. The thing it didn't do was go viral on social media. But that was also partly because Caroline's understanding of that was terrible. They've allowed themselves to have about 5 or 6 or 10 different accounts which they have no control over.
And they've probably lost the passwords.
Right. So that's what I come back to say as well. You do best if you're really sorted in your own business as well, and the media you work with is.
Yeah. We're going to talk to Darren some more in the second half of the show. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom now. When we come back, we've got a second guest to talk to. We're going to talk to Kerry Hodgkiss from Westgate.